Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And live from the studios of Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, our final Detour show for 2011. Welcome, Jodie.
Thank you, Greg. It is great to be here on the last day of this calendar year, 2011. How's 2011 been for you, Greg?
It's been an exciting year. It's been a year of freneticism. How's that for a word? I've been trying to use that all year. Activity. It's highs, lows, smiles, tears, new beginnings. And goodbye to old endings. It's been a mixed bag. What about you?
You just summed up my year. Absolutely. Add in there a few sort of curveballs of relationship things. I guess you covered that with the highs and the lows. But I did have exciting travels, and I did go to India, and I had an amazing trip in April. That was definitely a highlight for me. And, of course, being with you, Greg, here every Jody. Saturday on Joy 94.9.
I am gushing.
No, it is great fun to be here on Joy, and it's terrific to be able to bring interesting guests to the program and to interact with listeners. And I'd just like to say a special thanks to all our listeners for their support throughout the year.
And a few other panels or planes. Let's call them planes. We've had Macca, who's been off doing SatMag, and he's occasionally dropped into Detours. Thank you, Macca. We've had Lindsay, who's not with us today for the last show, but I know she is listening.
And hello, Lindsay.
It's been fabulous having you part of the team. We'd like to say hello to Adrian, who's out there, who's also been a moral guiding force, and we know he listens each week. And the station that allows Detours to be part so much of the Joy family, Conrad Brown, the Acting General Manager, and all the staff and key volunteers here at Joy, that when we have a guest that doesn't turn up, you know, the tram's stuck or the taxi's not here.
Or they forget.
They'll just run into the studio and all want to be guests here on Joy for Detours.
It is fantastic, and there's a great sense of camaraderie. And if one thing you're thinking of doing in 2012 is volunteering, I can highly recommend it.
It's a great place to volunteer, and you can be a member as well. 1-300-569-949. We'll even take your membership money now.
call me now.
Now, we've had a range of really good guests all year, haven't we, Jodie? And today, we've got not just another brilliant guest, but she's quite amazing, our guest today.
And we'd like to welcome to the studio Rosemary Hermans. And thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
Can I say that now? Yes, absolutely. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
So your year's been an interesting one, shall I say.
Always. Each year is always interesting, is it not? Another challenging year. Our house was destroyed in a hailstorm last year, last March the 6th, and 3,000 roof tiles and 21 windows smashed. So this week we are moving back home after nearly 2 years of living in a temporary accommodation.
So that's like a new beginning already for the start of the year.
Very much a new beginning, a time to shake away the past and to go home. And that real sense of what home means has become stronger to me from both my travels and from the experiences, the negative experiences. And really looking forward to the security and comfort of my home.
Now, you've flown back from overseas, and we'll talk about some of that later. But you've flown in and you arrive at Melbourne Airport. And what is that sense of home that you get when you fly back into your capital city?
Well, I always love travelling, the adventure and the discovery. And I come home sitting on the plane thinking of my next trip, of course. But definitely that real sense of knowing, of family, of community, of the things that you are comfortable to you, your bed, your space. And for me, a real sense of, a proud sense of, you know, paying off the mortgage and my home and my ownership and safety of my children. And all my eclectic things and travels in my house that I can look around and remind me of all the fun times.
Now, Rosemary and I met recently, had the pleasure of meeting Rosemary through a mutual friend, Richard Grant. Rosemary's doing some research about leadership in the non-profit sector here in Australia through Swinburne. And we were sitting across the table and you know, Rosemary had her big long list of all the questions and it was the interview style. And then we ended up getting on the topic of travel. Obviously, that's part of my blood and part of your blood and part of what I do every day at Traveller's Aid. Mm. How did you become interested in travel? Is it something that you always felt was part of you?
I'm not quite sure, and it's something I've been thinking about this week for lots of reasons, but maybe I was thinking about my stepfather died when I was when he was 45, and my best friend died in a car accident when I was 15, and I thought about the lives and journeys that they had and maybe the lives less lived that they had had. And it reminded me of all the things that I wanted to achieve, and it just, I think it just spurred on this journey to go, hang on, let's go triple pace and make the most of life. And part of me wants to live three lifetimes for them. And
that's a lovely tribute to their life, isn't it?
It very much reminds me. Yeah.
So how do you pack in three lifetimes into one life, Rosemary?
It can be done. It's not easy. I think it's about being really efficient and effective and really proactive. Things can get you down. I mean, sure, I've even had trips that have been downright miserable. But gosh, they make good dinner party stories, don't they? I've had Christmases in the gutter eating tins of tuna. I've missed planes that I was on standby and thought I was really hopping on the plane. But gosh, you know, you meet the most amazing people, people that you wouldn't talk to in your normal circles and your day-to-day life. And they inspire you and you inspire them and you open up and give a sense of honesty to strangers in faraway places that you may not do in your own, that you may not tell a friend something that you should have said, but you might say it to a stranger. And I like that sense of going away and having time to reflect, and then you come back, I think, more awesome and ready to go when you're back in your own world.
How true is that? I remember in Cambodia meeting an English couple, and we swapped books, and we've been exchanging books each year since. A book arrives in my mailbox and I send one off to them, and we exchange the latest books we're reading
with each other.
And it's those connecting with people and that enduring part of the connection.
Even if
it's just for a moment too.
Sure, I've met people on buses that I'm still friends with because I didn't have my phone, or there was turbulence and I thought, hang on, I best hold this person's hand and ask their name, and they're still friends. I don't want to die alone. So they're still friends now. You know, those experiences that, you know, share a milkshake at an airport, you may never see them again, but gosh, it filled in a great 20 minutes.
And do you think we're open to that when we're in our own hometown?
No, we're not. We're so worried about legalities and our rights, and we're less worried about our responsibilities. And it was, you know, about a year and a half ago, my daughter choked in the car. So I slammed on the brakes, hopped out, pulled her out of the car and was about to resuscitate her in the middle of the road. No one stopped. I was 50 metres from a police and ambulance. Hundreds of cars drove past me and no one stopped. And I thought, what makes our community not stop and help a mother holding a three-year-old? And it was a real eye-opener for me. And people said, yeah, but people might sue you. You might attack them, all these things. And I thought, okay, we need to do something here. This is, we've maybe lost a little sense of our community. And that's something I very much learnt in the hailstorm as well, when we were on our own in lots of ways. And that has been a difficult lesson. But also that has inspired me to do more voluntary work. And from that I've realised, hang on, it's actually not all bad. I'm going okay here.
So if each of us reaches out to one person in 2012 in a way that encompasses what you're saying about being a mother with a three-year-old in her arms and everyone just wandering past, no one stopping, if we all reach out to one person, what a difference we're going to make in 2012.
Oh, yeah, and there's some amazing people always say, oh, you're adopted and you're a foster mum. You're amazing. No, I honestly, truly believe every single person has that in them, and that I get back 10 times what I give. 10 times. Sure, I clean up the vomit at 2 a.m. with a child not sleeping, But wow, I get 1,000 hugs during the day. Awesome.
And so starts our journey with Rosemary here on Detours with Jody and Greg. Stay tuned. Coming up, we've got more. We'll find out a little bit about Ethiopia and some of the extraordinary journeys Rosemary's done. You're on Joy 94.9 with Detours.
Listen to us right around the nation.
Joy 94.9.
Someplace better than where you've been. Only you. Can't you hear me?
What a beautiful, haunting track that one is here on Joy 94.9.
That's beautiful music. That connects me with summer. And it's, I feel like I'm laying back. It's been a hot day.
Well, you're right, Greg, because this is a track from the movie, the soundtrack of Baghdad Cafe, Calling You, and it's actually set in the desert and you are bloody hot and in the middle of bloody nowhere. It's a great song. And this is Detours here on Joy 94.9. We're with you right up till 1 o'clock. I'm Jody, joined by Greg. And our special guest today is Rosemary Hermans, who has travelled everywhere, man.
Now, I want to ask Rosemary, just straight off that song where you're in the middle of nowhere, have you ever travelled with lots of people with you, people around you everywhere, but you felt like you're in the middle of nowhere, just an individual smack amongst this desert of all these people?
Yeah, I think travelling is a unique experience for everyone. When I was 20, I'd never been overseas and I thought, I'm just going to get a plane ticket to India. And I just hopped on a plane and asked the guy I was seeing at the time, do you want to come with me? And we hopped on a plane for 8 weeks through India and Nepal. I do believe I may have vomited daily for 8 weeks through India and lied to get out of the country thinking I was going to die of a pneumonic plague. But I did lose 8 kilos. And the man I travelled with, I thought if he can clean up my vomit daily, he's worth marrying. So I did actually marry him.
Oh, that's gorgeous. So that was part of the test, was it?
It was. So, feeling very naive in India. I'd actually like to go back now some years later as a different kind of traveller, and I think I've probably got it together now and could handle the pace.
So you're married now, and what's your husband's name?
So I'm married to David and we have two gorgeous, gorgeous girls. We have a 9-year-old beautiful adopted daughter, Zuri, from Ethiopia, whom we adopted in 2002, and we have a gorgeous biological daughter, Kiara. We're also waiting to adopt, and we also foster, so we just currently do some respite care. So,
wow, how do you fit that all in? I mean, you're also studying yourself.
Yeah, I'm doing a PhD, so this is my 15th, about to be 16th year of part-time study.
Oh, my God.
Failing university and being asked to leave politely, I had a bit of a think and thought, what am I going to do? So I've been plodding away, and hopefully next year I'll be writing 100,000 words and have a thesis, and hopefully this time next year I can say I've finished a PhD.
And ironically, your PhD is probably in areas far more relevant than the people that politely ask you to vacate premises all those years ago.
Yeah, I'm studying the not-for-profit sector, so I'm really interested. From many years ago, I worked at World Vision, and I'm interested in the changing times of the charity sector and how we, the government and donors, ask it to be more efficient and effective. And what does that mean when a charity becomes more professional and more compliant? How does it still be innovative? How does it still have the heart? That's what I'm still working out. I'll get back to you when I have some answers.
That's fantastic.
Well, I think there's challenges for everyone from a donor's point of view, from government's point of view, from community, about trying to deliver services that essentially no one really wants to deliver to very vulnerable people.
Yeah, and we need charities. We need, it's not always the place of government and corporate, and we need that. But we ask a lot. And certainly as a donor, I want to know that my money's going there. But there will be admin costs, and it's just, trying to figure it out and how they can still be amazing and, to be honest, alleviate poverty. That's what it's all about.
And if the not-for-profit sector gets it right, one day, and I hope it's on the horizon in not too distant future, when they're valued the same as a business end of the town is valued, they'll have the systems much more efficiently in place that the business sector doesn't do well.
And there's been some significant sort of focus on what are the role of non-profits regarding advocacy, and the recent ATO ruling about AidWatch. And, you know, essentially a lot of charitable organisations have steered away from advocacy, seeing that that's in sort of contradiction to what they're permitted to do under their different types of benevolent status and types of taxation benefits. But in fact, advocacy is actually about social change. And if you're trying to alleviate poverty, if you're trying to really enhance the rights of everyone in the community, you actually need to change policy.
You need to educate people, which is us, the community. And unfortunately, that costs money. So as a donor, we need to understand that there will be administration costs, because if you need to educate people about how do you change policy, what policies have we got wrong, or what do we need to change? So unfortunately, that costs money.
You have to have the phones on, don't you? So the difference between Australia and overseas, you adopted a beautiful daughter in Ethiopia. Did you get a chance through that process to connect with the not-for-profits at that end in Ethiopia?
Every time I've travelled, I've generally stopped and visited a not-for-profit charity. Like 3 weeks ago, I was in Bali for a conference and went and looked at a oceanic not-for-profit, or a social enterprise is now the new catchphrase of a lot of them.
And what is a social enterprise?
Oh, dear. I think it's about a sustainable business that actually keeps, you know, improves the environment, improves this world. It's about finding the balance between having a business that not only can make money, but also actually gives back. Yeah. Well, that's my version.
No, I think that's a good version. I mean, there's so many different phrases that bandied around: social innovation, social entrepreneurship, social ventures. So we know that there's challenges for gay and lesbian families about adoption. In fact, we know that in Australia it's not legal at this point in time. Is that correct?
Yeah. Adoption's not hard, is not easy for anyone, quite frankly, and certainly not possible at all if you're a gay or lesbian. We started our adoption journey, well, I actually probably started thinking about adoption as a teenager, and it was something I was always had in my back of my mind. I don't know whether it was the 85 famine, but when I worked with World Vision, I was sent as a commodity officer to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And between my house and work was about a kilometre walk. When I used to walk alone to the office, I used to pass a little orphanage. Hundreds and hundreds of children putting their little hands through the fence and waving and pulling me in, trying to hold me. And that has never left me. Those images have never left me. And so when I went to Peru and Ecuador for the millennium, sitting in the Amazon jungle with my husband, the millennium, I thought, yeah, let's do this, and came home and said, right, government, ready to adopt now. I'll have the baby now. And they said, okay, now you begin your journey. And that was to be a five-year journey of paperwork. We applied to adopt for two children and were knocked back. So we're still in the process of adopting that second child, and we have been doing paperwork with the Department of Human Services now for over 11 years. Non-stop.
Goodness me, that takes endurance and perseverance, doesn't it?
It does. It is hundreds and hundreds of hours, doctor's appointments, accountants, references, medical checks. I've jumped on one leg, I've put my hands on my head and done eye tests, I've had pap smears, I've had you name it, I've done it, and still we're waiting. We've been waiting another 5 years this time to adopt. And it has only got harder, more expensive and more stressful.
So have you ever gone down the intervention pathway where there comes a time you knock on a door, you ring that bell, you go and see the minister and you say, what the? You know, there's something not right with a system that allows kids that need to be adopted not to have suitably qualified parents.
Yeah, well, I think maybe the Australian government's a bit risk adverse. I'm not quite sure, but they're scared of getting it wrong, and so I have no problems with the checks and balances they do, quite frankly. I do believe in all the things that they've asked of me, but to then assess us as, yes, you're now a couple who is able to adopt, and for our file to sit in a filing cabinet for 2 years, at which point it expires and we start the paperwork again, which we've just done, and now it's going to sit in another drawer for another 2 years and expire, and then we'll start again. That's unacceptable. It's too hard on everyone, my children, and it's too hard on the children waiting to be adopted. Let's face it, there's at least 143 million orphans in the world, and as an Australian citizen in Victoria, the only country I can adopt from in Africa is Ethiopia. There is no other country I'm allowed to adopt from as an Australian citizen living in Victoria.
Do you know, it's 2012 tomorrow, and as you're listening to this show, it's New Year's Eve. I think we might find that there's some people listening to this show today that can take this to the people they work for in federal government as ministers or in the appropriate authorities that might want to intervene and explore how they can still have checks and balances, but ensure that you don't have to wait, and other parents like you don't have to wait 11 years to actually assist a child to have parents.
You might have some ideas or things you'd like to share with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. This is Detours here with Jodie and Greg. We're with you right up to 1 o'clock. That gorgeous voice just before is Rosemary Hermans. And we'll come back in a minute and talk a little bit more about the journey to Ethiopia to meet your adopted daughter. And I'd like to know also how your biological daughter settles in with all these changes here on Joy 94.9.
It's the world's most uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy when you want, where you want, with the Joy app.
Download it for free at joy.org.au.
And coming up, we'll have an Android app for you beautiful Android people out there in 2012. That was Shakira. Now, we want to see if you're listening. What was the name of that song from Shakira? Fantastic song. 0427JOY949 plus 61 427 569 949 if you're listening from around the world, or you can email onair at joy.org.au. Let's see who the first person is who can tell us what that Shakira song was.
You see, we've written it down, but we don't know how to pronounce it. So,
well, I don't know either. Okay. Every time I go travelling, I just go into a music shop. I was in Peru in the millennium and said, give me a CD I need to have. And that was the one they handed to me.
Fabulous.
And little did I know, it was actually to become Shakira, who's very well known now in her English CDs.
So you were onto her before anyone else was.
Oh, I'm ahead of fashion, I'm telling you now.
Whoa, trendsetter. If you just joined the program, it's Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg. Our special guest today is Rosemary Hermans. And you went, Rosemary, to Ethiopia to adopt, but this isn't a simple process. Could you run us through what happened?
Certainly not a simple process. So as I was explaining before, it was something I'd thought about for a good maybe 15 years prior. And then when I began the journey, it was a journey of assessments, lots of paperwork, lots of medicals and reference checking and all of that. And at the same time, I got a big job offer in Ireland. So I went and moved to Dublin, and I was about to turn 30 at the time and got a phone call that you've been allocated a little girl, who's a healthy baby girl, who's had her immunisations. Do you want her? And of course, the answer was yes. So I flew home on my 30th. I spent 2 days at Ground Zero in New York. I came home for one day and moved house. The next day, I bought a whole room of baby stuff, my last month's wage. The third day, it was my mother's 60th birthday. I had a party, and then that night, I hopped on a plane via Dubai and Nairobi to pick up a little baby girl in Ethiopia.
How did you feel? Were your feet above your head? Were you elevated? How did you feel heading off to Ethiopia?
When you've waited for something so long and you want something so much, you hold your breath. You don't believe it can ever happen. It can't happen if you want it that much, maybe.
Was the heart pounding?
No, I just was waited so long, and we went to a couple's house called Lakor and Mizrek, and we had coffee. Ethiopia is the home of coffee, for anyone who doesn't know that. Beautiful, yummy coffee. And we had a lovely coffee, and then they brought out a little baby girl who just sat on my knee and was actually quite sick. And so I think that ended up being a blessing because she laid in my arms for 10 days straight staring up at me, and then I caught a plane home. So I'd been living in Dublin as a marketing manager of World Vision, studying a master's, and 2 weeks later I was sitting in Melbourne holding now a mum to a little 10-month-old baby girl. So yeah, a new world opened up and a new beginning, and the best thing that's ever happened to us in our life.
I haven't got children of my own, and many of my friends and sisters do, and I see remarkable changes in them in the period of time when they become pregnant to expecting to having birth. What were the different phases for you?
It kind of felt I was pregnant for 3 years, actually.
Okay.
So it's amazing how instincts kick in. I read every baby book I could get my hands on. Of course, my husband didn't do any of that, and he was as natural and as wonderful dad as I hope I am as a mum. I think we had done, we do lots of educational groups. We're on e-support groups. We buy every Ethiopian book. We go to multicultural things. We go to adoption camps every summer. We dress up in silly Ethiopian outfits, and I eat all the really chilly, hot, spicy food called babera and mitmita that I just, flames are coming out my mouth. And it's wonderful. I benefit. My daughter, hopefully, is really gorgeously happy, and my family and my community are better for adoption. It's only been wonderful. It's not always easy, but parenting is not always easy. No parenting's easy, but gosh, it's certainly brilliant as well.
And then you have your own child that came along some years later.
Yeah.
What's it like with the two siblings? You know, one from Ethiopia and one from, you know, born here, but they're now both Australians.
Well, people remind us that Zuri is adopted. For us, we're off to the supermarket to get the milk, and I'm bringing along my two children. So probably the only time I'm reminded is when I'm trying to do really tight curls and get a comb through those gorgeous African curls that mat so easy. But that's one of my resolutions, to be able to do cornrows next year. I've got big plans to learn to braid in, or at least find a really good hairdresser.
I'm sure there's no shortage of those when you think of how many people from Ethiopia are here in Victoria.
Yeah, well, Melbourne's got the biggest population of Ethiopians in Australia, I think. I'm not quite sure, but there used to be something like 20,000 Ethiopians and about 10,000 living in Melbourne around Footscray region predominantly. So, yeah, no, there's quite a half a dozen Ethiopian restaurants. And, yeah, it's pumping away. And the Consulate of Ethiopia is in Johnson Street, where you can get amazing, amazing coffee. Yeah. Yummy.
Now, Ethiopia is one country where there are so many kids in need of adoption. What are the other countries that have many kids in orphanages that just cannot be accessed?
Well, there's many countries. Africa has some of the poorest countries in the world, so that's what has always grabbed my heart. Adoption for me was about helping the poorest children in the world. Do I wish there was adoption? No. Do I wish there were systems in place in those countries where there was no need for orphanages? Absolutely. But, you know, it's not reality. There is orphanages, there's war, there's problems, there's child trafficking, there is. And for all of those reasons, adoption currently exists. And whilst that's the case, we still have it in our heart to adopt again. A lot of countries aren't available to adopt because it's war, it's unsafe. There also needs to be an agreement called the Hague Convention with the Australian government, which is about the rights of the child, which I strongly agree with. And so there needs to be good systems in place both in Australia and in those countries. But I do think it's achievable, and I certainly do think the timelines can be improved and also some of the costs streamlined as well. It's a very expensive process when you add travelling to it, and many, many thousands of dollars, and that's something we're still saving for. But, you know, I just keep those pictures of little babies I've held, dying babies of AIDS in Sierra Leone and Congo. I keep those thoughts in my heart. And that keeps me doing more paperwork, and will be 15 years of paperwork with the Australian government.
It's like a PhD in paperwork, isn't it?
I'm thinking it's bordering on it's crazy, and which is why people give up, unfortunately. It's too long, it's too expensive, it's too hard, it's too invasive. But, you know, I just not going to give up on this one.
Do you want to be part of this journey? Do you want to write some letters in 2012 and support the work that Rosemary and others do to try and adopt in Australia? In fact, do you want to write some letters and try and open up adoption for gay and lesbian couples or single mums in Australia? Why don't you contact us, detours@joy.org.au, and let's get a bit of a campaign running for 2012. We can do that.
Glad I came in now. Thank you for that.
Well, it's not just a travel show.
Yeah.
We're talking about inter-country adoption here at the moment. But a friend of mine recently was telling me that he and his partner have become, foster parents to a young boy from Afghanistan who is 17, who is an asylum seeker here in Australia. And he and his partner decided that, you know, they had a spare room, they've got love, they've got the resources to be able to open their family to someone else, to be able to give them this young boy some extra support. So I think what that made me think was that whilst I appreciate and respect your journey of inter-country adoption, there are other things people can do to locally support people who are in need, even fostering. And that is open to gay and lesbian couples who are eligible or meet their criteria. So I think be open-minded about how much you can support people.
Yeah, encourage permanent care. Look, local adoption is very difficult. There's very few babies nowadays available and a lot of couples waiting to adopt. But certainly, as a foster parent, it's been a rewarding experience. And there is permanent care as well, which is, you know, pretty close to adoption as well. And that also allows access to the child's biological parents. So I've been to all those information nights. But unfortunately, you can't be. That's another thing that I'm not very happy about. You cannot be on the same list as local adoption, inter-country and permanent care. You can only choose one of those lists. So unfortunately, I can't be on those other lists. So maybe that's something else that needs to be looked at as well, if it's all the same government department.
0427 JOY949, joining this discussion. In fact, you might like to have some questions to ask Rosemary about her travels and about some of these issues, but about what it means for her and what it means for you listening to Rosemary's journey here on Joy 94.9.
And also, we just want to give you a reminder that today in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, is going to be hot, very hot. Maximum of 35, very sunny. Winds northerly averaging 20 to 30 kilometres per hour. High fire danger as well. So if you're planning to do any country trips, be alert, be aware, and drink plenty of water and stay cool. It's going to be a very hot New Year's Eve here in Melbourne.
And let us know also what you're doing for New Year's Eve. That's important because we haven't discussed that. I want to find out what you and your family are doing. Maybe we can coax one of your daughters to come on here with us shortly as we come back. This is Joy 94.9. You're on Detours.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg. This is Detours. We're with you for another 12 minutes till 1 o'clock. Then, of course, there'll be the news with Rod and then Cravings with Pete Dillon. And joining us in the studio is Rosemary Herman. So we've been talking about inter-country adoption, in particular Ethiopia. And you've brought your daughter in to join us here in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's really good to have you here. Is it the first time you've been in a radio studio?
Yes.
Well done. Now, what was it like to travel back to Ethiopia, to your roots, when you visited recently with your mum?
I liked seeing where I was born and
what did we do for Christmas? Do you remember?
We hiked
through the Simien Mountains.
And I rode on a donkey because my legs got sore, and so it was fun being on the donkey. And
you got to go on the donkey.
Great
and everyone
idea.
Else had to walk.
Well, I yeah. hiked.
How
and
cool.
We paid a porter. We actually decided about 4 years ago. Zuri was five at the time, and I had a 11-month-old baby. And we hiked, we spent 10 weeks, but we hiked for 1 week through the Simien Mountains. And I paid a porter to put the baby on his back and Zuri on the back of a donkey. And we hiked and spent Christmas Day and New Year's Eve through the Simien Mountains of Ethiopia. Unbelievable.
That's fantastic. What a great opportunity.
Yeah. And Zuri, your mum was talking before about the amazing food from Ethiopia. What's your favourite dish?
I like the vegetables.
Yeah.
But with the injera and
injera is the bread.
Ah, okay. Is that like a flat bread?
Yeah.
Like pita bread?
Yeah.
How spicy is it? Is it really spicy food?
Yeah, it's very spicy.
Yum. Does it blow your head off? or give you curls?
Both.
Fantastic.
Wish I had curly hair.
Well, cool. For anyone who's listening, this is a bit of a visual joke. Greg doesn't have any hair.
I have a good head for radio, put it that way.
You do. You're gorgeous, darling.
So what's your favourite part about, you know, you've got a beautiful mum here. When you think about your mum, what things come to mind when you're thinking of how beautiful she is and what type of person she is?
Well, there was lots of babies in the orphanage and she decided to pick me, which I feel very lucky about. And
you've just said it. You've summed it right up. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. It was meant to happen. You were meant to connect. Mm.
Definitely.
And your sister, what's her name?
Kiara.
Kiara. So do you guys get along okay?
Yeah.
Play nicely?
Yeah.
Ah, good, good.
Now, if you hadn't worked out, this is Detours, and they always say on TV and radio, never play with children or play with pets, because I think we've just had the show stolen from us, which is fantastic. You'll have to have a regular gig here.
It's a shame they can't see her curls, hey?
Yeah, they're fantastic. Now, coming up travels, what family travels have you guys got planned in the future?
Well, after a rough couple of years, we just had that tacky American trip to Florida just then to Disneyland. It just has to be done when you have young children. So we've done that, and we've waved and hugged Cinderella and Dora and anyone else who would give us a hug, and lots of photos. So we've still got lots of things in the pipeline, but there's a not-for-profit conference that's every second year, and that's about charities coming together and researchers coming together from around the world and thinking about ways how we can improve the sector. So hopefully I've got fingers crossed for Italy in July that I might be presenting my PhD at. And then down the track, my family originate from the Falkland Islands. So I have a big birthday coming up in a little over a year. I'm not saying the number. And
oh, it must be 3-0.
And there's dreams of going back to the Falkland Islands and maybe returning my grandmother's ashes. That's in my heart.
Wow, you've got a lot of these connections, these emotional bonds, these, you know, you're certainly living life to its fullest, aren't you?
Well, it's a pretty amazing place, hey?
It sure is. Yeah. Now, the Falkland Islands is a fascinating place. I recently saw a documentary where there's sort of conflict within the island about whether it should be returned back to what country in
Argentina
in South America, but it is actually a British settlement, is that correct?
Very much so, and they're actually thinking Argentina are actually currently deciding about whether to go back to war in the next year or two. So that's something we're going to have to look at as a Commonwealth to very, very seriously. Falkland Islands is home to only about 3,000 people, I think, but there's also 3,000 military personnel there, and I think there's probably about 500,000 sheep. and I don't know how many penguins, but my family originated from there, and I've got relatives of Antarctic explorers and on whalers on St. Georgia Island, and it's a good stop for Antarctica and all the ships come in.
Now, geographically, let's just quickly describe for people who might not know where the Falkland Islands sits.
It's the bottom of Latin America, so sort of on the Chile side between Antarctica and Latin America. Yeah, you'd probably go down and have a look at those beautiful falls down in Chile, wouldn't you?
You would.
And then fly across very expensive, but a beautiful trip around Antarctica if you just happen to have $20,000 sitting in your bank account.
You can probably get it down to around about 10K.
Really?
But you got to have two people go. But 20K peak season, 10K for... Is there an off-season?
Okay, get me
perhaps
a deal.
Not, but
very cold there, isn't it? So I wouldn't be warm enough unless I was hooked up to an electric blanket. I'm not there yet. I get too cold.
And there's a range of providers. You can do the the Western shipping companies or the Russian icebreakers that will take you down as well. Bit of fun. And some go from South America. Some actually go from the lower end of the South Island of New Zealand as well.
Yeah, that's the Easter Island. That's one way to get across. And also there's actually a military flight from London as well. So
how cool would that be?
Do you have to be part of the military to go
flight? Yeah, okay. But it's only once a week, so you'd have to make that work for you, wouldn't you? But and it's an expensive trip down there, but looking at what's in the bottom south of Latin America and Antarctica and the Falkland Islands, why not? Start saving.
Fantastic. I think we're going to come. We'll do Detours Carry Your Bags episode, Rosemary.
Oh, no, let's do
we
it.
Want to go everywhere.
That is reality, isn't it?
Where would you like to go? In fact, what are your plans, travel plans for 2012? 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au, or if you think about it during the week, detours at joy.org.au.
Now, coming up tonight is New Year's Eve, the end of 2011. Any New Year's resolutions amongst the group here? Any plans?
I think, there's always that fitness goal, isn't there? The more water, the more fitness. So let's just push that aside. That's always
that's
there
my number one
chocolate.
Goal, Rosemary.
But look, if we had a webcam turn on, you are fit, Rosemary.
You're very trim and terrific.
I actually have been to gym every day this week, so I'm very happy with myself.
Well
but
done.
That's only so I can have all the Belgian chocolate that was exquisitely given to me because everyone knows me well.
Yeah.
But I think that sense of home and going home is really important to us. We're moving house this week. And just getting back into the groove and looking at our community, what I can do, continuing voluntary work. I started volunteering on a board this year. That's been extraordinarily wonderful. And, just really looking forward to renewing what we had and some new beginnings and... looking forward to a whole lot of fun and finishing a thesis.
Now, joining us, Pete Dillon, I think you must have some New Year's resolutions coming up.
I don't make them because I break them. I'm hopeless. Don't do New Year's resolutions at all. I just hope to be fatter and smoking less by the end of 2012.
But you've lost weight this year.
I mean, thinner.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say.
Whoops.
Well, what about for cravings? New Year for cravings?
Oh, the show gets better and better. That's all we can hope for.
So what's coming up today?
We're taking a skip around Melbourne to find out what you can do tonight if you're one of those last-minute people, or in fact what you might do tomorrow, given it's New Year's Day. So there's places open for breakfast and stuff. So just to help you recover from perhaps a tiring evening.
That's Pete Dillon from Cravings. You can also listen, and I reckon you should listen to Pete Dillon's show, Salt and Pepper. Interesting mashup at the end of his pre-recorded show on podcast. And Detours will be podcasted later this afternoon. What about you, Zuri? What's your New Year resolutions? What do you plan to do in 2012?
I plan to improve in my basketball and get another stripe for my kung fu. And yeah, I've got lots of goals that I would like to achieve. And
well done.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Sporty Spice. Yeah, very
kung
good.
Kung fu, my God.
I better not meet you in a dark alley in case you kung fu me or something.
What about you, Jodes?
Oh, definitely fitness. It's the number one goal that I really need to achieve. I'm coming up to a milestone birthday in June of next year. And, I'd like to be fitter and to enjoy my travels more. And that's certainly my number one goal.
Well, that's a great way to end the year on Detours 2012. Rosemary, thanks very much for being our exquisite guest today and unpacking your life in a very personal way and touching way and introducing us to you, Zuri. Thank you for coming on the show.
And Kiara, who's been waving through the studio windows there, and your partner, Greg, is it?
David.
I don't know who Greg is. You're Greg, sorry. I'm getting confused.
Thank you so much for having and listening. It's been a joyous year and we're looking forward to 2012, and I certainly wish everyone a happy new year and that you're proactive and find some tranquility and peace and also some wisdom as well.
Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Thank
Wonderful
you
advice.
Words.
Take care and good luck with the move and happy new year to everybody. And happy new year to you, Greg.
Happy new year, Jody.
It's been a great time and it's time to say goodbye, but we'll be back next year.
Goodbye and happy new year, everyone. Thanks for joining us on Detours for 2011 and we'll see you in 2012.
Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world.
Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.